Hi everyone, welcome back. Just as a refresher before we jump into the key points of this module, because I know that it's tough. This is not an easy topic. This tends to be one of the more challenging topics that we cover. You really want to keep in mind that your allowance for doubtful accounts is keeping track of two specific items. On the increase or credit side, it's keeping track of your bad debt expense estimates that you've made. On the decrease or debit side, it's keeping track of the actual write-offs that you've had. So at any point in time, you can look at that account. The balance is on the credit side. We've written off less than we thought. If the balance is on the debit side, we've written off more than what we had estimated we would write off. So that's very crucial. If you need to go back, review those last couple of slides and that little bit of discussion in the previous module, but you want to make sure that you're comfortable with that. That said, let's go ahead, let's move to the next slide, and let's begin what we need to deal with in this module. Reminder, bad debt expense is an estimate. We must estimate the amount of the expense in order to conform to matching. So the last crucial question we have to answer is, how do they do it? How do companies come up with the estimate of bad debt expense? And there's actually two different methods that they can use to estimate the bad debt expense. They can use the percentage of sales method, typically referred to as the net credit sales method. Or they can use the percentage of receivables method, what we call the aging method. Note, both of these methods are acceptable. Both methods are fine under GAAP. The choice of methods is simply a management issue. Which method do we want to use for our company to estimate bad debt expense? Now let's move to the next slide and let's talk about these different methods. Let's start with the easier one, the net credit sales method. Here, under the net credit sales method, bad debt expense is estimated as a percentage of the current year's net credit sales. This percentage of net credit sales, that's developed based on past experience or items that have occurred in the past, allow us to come up with a reasonable estimate of what will be uncollectible in the current year. So under the net credit sales method, bad debt expense is simply based on a percentage of our credit sales we think will be uncollectible. That percentage is developed based on past experience. To calculate the bad debt expense estimate under the net credit sales method, it's very straightforward. Simply take the net credit sales for the year and multiply that by the percentage we expect to be uncollectible. Note that the net credit sales method does not make use of any existing balance in the allowance for doubtful accounts in the estimate of bad debt expense for the current year. So it completely ignores any existing balance in the allowance for doubtful accounts when coming up with the estimate of bad debt expense for the current year. So for example, if I tell you that we estimate that 1% of our credit sales will be uncollectible and we had credit sales for the year of $800,000, the bad debt expense, very easy to develop, simply estimated as $8,000. Credit sales times percentage. Any existing balance in the allowance for doubtful accounts does not factor into the estimate using this method. Net credit sales method. It's really rather straightforward. Go to the next slide and let's talk about the second method, which isn't quite as straightforward. The aging method. The aging method, as opposed to the net credit sales method, requires a detailed analysis of our accounts receivable by length of time that they've been outstanding. The idea here is that the older the account receivable is, the greater the chance that it will not be collected. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a schedule that shows all of our accounts receivable by age categories. And for each age category, we will assign a percentage that we expect to be uncollectible for that category. This schedule that we're putting together is referred to as the aging schedule. And the aging schedule would look like what you see there on the slide. We have different categories of accounts receivable by age. Those that are current, not past due. Those that are 1 to 30 days past due. Those that are 31 to 90 days past due. And those that are over 90 days past due. For each age category, you assign a percentage expected to be uncollectible. Note the idea here. The older the account receivable, the greater the likelihood we will not collect it. Hence, the percentages increase as the accounts receivable get older and older. Now, please go to the next slide. Remember what the aging schedule is. You put your accounts receivable into categories by age. For each category, you assign a percentage expected to be uncollectible. Now, what we're going to do with this aging method is we're going to follow a basic formula. You take the amount of the receivables in each category, multiply it by the percentage for that category, and then sum the product for each category. That's what that little sigma sign means, to do a summation. So for example, there's our aging schedule again. For each category, you take the amount of the receivables times the percentage. 10,000 times 1.5%, $150. 4,000 times 4%, $160. So on and so forth. Once you've done that multiplication, you simply add the different products. So you take 150 plus 160 plus 420 plus 400. You add them together, you get 1130. Now, you please go to the next slide. Let's see what to do with that number. So when you take the sum of those different products, you get 1130. This is a key point, and this is what makes the aging method a little more challenging. That 1130, that number from the aging schedule, is not your bad debt expense estimate. That does not represent the estimate of bad debt expense. Rather, this 1130, this number from the aging schedule, represents the required ending credit balance in the allowance for doubtful accounts. The number you get from the aging schedule, the number you get from following that little equation where you do a multiplication and then sum the product from each category, that amount represents what needs to be the required ending credit balance in the allowance for doubtful accounts. To estimate your bad debt expense, we're going to need to, quote unquote, force it out. We're going to need to draw a T account for the allowance and force out the bad debt expense estimate. Please go to the next slide, and let's just sort of go through how that would be done. There's our T account, the allowance for doubtful accounts. Let's put in what we know. Well, we know that there's a beginning balance that can be on either side, debit or credit. Problem will always tell you, beginning debit or beginning credit side. We know that we have write-offs. Write-offs are the decrease to this account. They go on the debit side. We know that we have recoveries. They increase the allowance. And we know from the aging schedule what the ending credit balance needs to be. That's that 1190 that we calculated a couple of slides ago. So what we don't know, what we're going to make our X, is the bad debt expense estimate. That is our unknown. And what we're going to do is we're going to force out the bad debt expense by using a little bit of algebra. Take the beginning balance, subtract all decreases, the write-offs, add all increases, recoveries, and the bad debt expense, and that all equals the ending balance, which comes from the aging schedule. Now note, Unlike the credit sales method, the aging method does incorporate any existing balance in the allowance in the current year's estimate. So any balance in the allowance for doubtful accounts is going to impact the estimate of bad debt expense for the current year. That's a distinction between the aging method and the net credit sales method, which doesn't incorporate any existing balance.